Well, good afternoon and welcome again to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about the performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt, your host once again, and welcome to another Friday afternoon. Or whenever you are listening to the show, remember you can always go to alaskapublic.org, and download podcasts or old episodes or even put us on your Facebook page. Well, it's summertime, and you know what that means around here with theater communities. They're ending up their last year's seasons, and they are starting planning or announcing their next year's seasons. And we're doing a series of shows this summer, talking with different theater companies and dance companies about what's coming up. We're starting with Anchorage Community Theater, and we have Sarah Athens here. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you.
Sarah is the executive director of the theater, and this is sort of finishing up your first year with as being executive director with ACT. Isn't that right, Sarah?
Yep, it was a year in April, so.
And I remember we had you on last year to talk about the season.
Yes.
And at that time, you kind of inherited a season that had been set before by your predecessor, Don Gomes, and the board. And we know ACT kind of sets the season, but the executive director is on that committee and has an input.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a committee made up of community members, board members, and myself.
And I want to start out by saying something. Looking at your season here, and it's been announced on your webpage, actalaska.org, that it is not your usual, what I say, usual community theater season.
Sure.
In that, normally community theaters, and this is a broad generalization, of course, have a lot of big name recognition shows. And looking at your season, you don't really have that. You have shows that fit into sort of typical community theater genres, but the names are not necessarily those that the audience would recognize. We'll talk about that in a moment, these different shows. But was that a conscious decision on your part and the board to bring in something perhaps new to the theater community here?
Yeah, we had a set of criteria that we used to select the plays. So, I mean, some of the things we're looking at is diversifying the playwright selection. So this year we have three female playwrights. Last year we only had one. So we were really trying to diversify and have a bigger range of people who could be in the shows and who are writing the shows. So I think that contributes to not having such huge name recognition because, you know, male playwrights get more credit than women historically.
Well, traditionally, you've had more male playwrights been produced, and then women players have been really coming into the forefront the last, 10, 20, 30 years. And so, I understand that. And this is, of course, going into ACT's mission of providing theater for the community.
Right. We really want to be a theater for everyone, and I just don't think that you can do a season of dead white male playwrights and be for everyone. It's just not possible.
Well, you have one dead white playwright.
We do. We
maybe
do.
Maybe a couple.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. You want to have something which is live and vibrant for the community. So that's interesting. Let's just dive into look at some of the shows you're doing. The first play you're doing, opening your season, is a play called Laura, written by George Sklar, a dead white playwright. but based on the novel by Vera Kaspari, is that her name?
Yes.
Tell us about Laura. It's a really interesting idea.
Sure. So it's based on a novel, and Vera also worked on the play adaptation. So it's written by both of them. And it was also made into a movie in the 40s, which is where most people's recognition of it comes from. So it was a film noir in the 40s. It's a pretty typical murder mystery type story. An investigator starts looking into the murder of a woman who he believes is Laura, and in the process of investigating sort of falls in love with her. And then we find out she's not dead, but it looks like she might have killed the person who is dead. So it gets a bit complex, but it's fun is probably the wrong word, but it's really interesting and rich. I really love the script.
Well, you say on your webpage, you say if you like Laura, you'll like Laura if you like film noir, murder mysteries, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
I think, murder mysteries, Alfred Hitchcock, film noir are all fun things to watch. I like film noir. I think it's a wonderful genre, especially in that sort of dark but intriguing type of a play. So Laura was done some time ago, but it hasn't been done as a play around here probably at all, has it?
I don't think so. One thing I really am excited about this season is that Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is the only show we've ever done before. So we're doing almost an entirely new season to ACT, which is pretty rare, and I'm really excited about that. And yeah, Laura, I haven't seen anywhere here. So
you just jumped to your next show. I want to say Laura performs September 23rd through October the 16th. And then you go to The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe, the classic story by C.S. Lewis, and you're saying this is a play that ACT has done before. What was your reasoning for bringing that show back?
Well, we were looking for, so this last year we did The Secret Garden as our sort of a Christmas time show. And I really enjoyed doing a show that wasn't specific to Christmas during the holidays, because not everyone celebrates Christmas. It's a time for a whole family to go out and go to the theater together. So that's sort of why we picked Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because it's family friendly. It's a big cast. But if you don't celebrate Christmas, or if you want to go see the show in November before it's really Christmas time, and you are a staunch no Christmas before Thanksgiving kind of person, which I am, then you can go see Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe and not feel guilty about it.
Interesting reasoning for choosing that play. So tell us, for those people who don't know the story of Lion, Witch, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, tell us a bit about that.
Mm-hmm. So it's about four children who are sent to stay in this country manor during the Second World War, because they sent children out of the cities. And so they go stay in this country farmhouse, and they discover a secret land called Narnia on the other side of a wardrobe. And once they get there, they have all these different types of adventures, and sort of they fight this evil white witch in the process.
And your blurb, you say you'll like The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe if you like fantasy, Harry Potter. Of course, people love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Family-friendly theater.
Yeah.
So interesting. So that's your holiday show. It goes from November the 18th and through December the 11th. So nothing even going into the Christmas period, really.
Yep. We might do something different for Christmas, a one or two night event. But yeah, we're doing a show that's going to close before Christmas and give our volunteers some time off and things.
That's always nice. We're talking with Sarah Athens here, who's the executive director of Anchorage Community Theater, talking about their upcoming 2016-17 season. We just finished the fall, talked about their first play, Laura, their second show, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. Going into February, we have a play which I am really intrigued about. It's called Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, written by Lainey Robertson. Tell us about this play.
Sure. So Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill is a musical about Billie Holiday. It's essentially a one-woman show, although there is a piano player that has a couple of lines, and then there's room in the script to have more of a band or just have a piano player. So we'll see what happens at the time. But I'm really excited about it. It's a 90-minute, no intermission musical that takes place in one place. And it's really about one of Billie Holiday's final shows at Emerson's Bar and Grill before she died. So,
and Billie Holiday is the great jazz singer,
right.
Great jazz blues singer. So you're looking for an actor who's going to be able to pull off not only playing Billie Holiday, but singing the music, which sounds, that's a challenge. But, the Anchorage community always comes up with meeting challenges like that. So,
yeah, I think so. And one reason we picked it is that it fits. We have a pretty small space. And to find musicals that fit into a space as small as ours is not easy. And so this, I think, was a really perfect storm of things for us. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about it.
And it's not a typical musical in the sense of having a large cast and dance numbers. Is it just Billie Holiday performing, or does she have moments during the play where she talks to perhaps her offstage scene partner or that kind of a thing?
I mean, she talks to the audience some, and then she also talks to her piano player. So she has monologues and conversations in between her songs. But, it's mostly her singing.
And this is 4 months. This play takes place 4 months before she dies.
I believe that's right.
Right. And so this sounds like a very powerful but very entertaining play.
Yeah. I mean, it's Billie Holiday, so it's beautiful.
Oh,
but
yes.
It's also that like, you can really feel her pain and her struggles that she definitely had near the end of her life. So it's, it's really powerful and beautiful.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. That performance February 3rd through the 19th. Mm-hmm. Then we do a little bit of a switch. We go to a play called The Best of Everything by Julie Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this. It says you'll like The Best of Everything if you like Mad Men, mm-hmm. which everybody likes Mad Men. Well, how is this play like Mad Men?
Sure. So it's about, it's sort of like if Mad Men were, we got the women's perspective for all of Mad Men. So it's set in a publishing house, and it's sort of between all of the women, the secretaries and they're mostly secretaries. One is an editor. And so it's sort of about their relationships with each other and then with their friends and with men outside of the office. So it's sort of an in-depth look at what their lives and relationships were like. It's really interesting. It's based on a novel by Rona Jaffe that she published of the same name.
Well, you know, one thing about Mad Men that I thought was very fascinating was that they really kept to the morality of that time period, which was, you know, for some people, it made them angry at how women were treated.
Sure.
How does this play treat women? Does it do the same kind of a thing? Is it very realistic that way?
Well, it's written, the novel is written by a woman, but the play is adapted by a woman. Most of the characters are women. So, yes, I would say it is fairly historically accurate, but we also get a glimpse into women interacting just with each other. And so that gives us a more in-depth and, I think, humanizing look than if they're interacting with men or through a man's perspective. So because it's from a female perspective, I do think that it's historically still accurate, but it is more humanizing and personal.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. One thing Mad Men was able to do was able to really get inside the women's lives and that time period, and you saw who they really were rather than just some sort of two-dimensional idea of a woman.
Exactly. They're not stereotyped at all, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So that's The Best of Everything. Mm-hmm. Julie Kramer performs March 24th through April the 9th, your springtime show.
Yeah.
Now, you're finishing things up, not with a big musical, as sometimes community theaters do. You're finishing up with a play called Things My Mother Taught Me, Catherine DeSavino. I can never pronounce that name. I'm sorry. Performs May 5th through the 28th. Tell us about this play.
So I'm really excited about this play. It is hilarious. It's a new play. I think it's been written in the last 5 years or so. And it's about a young couple who moves to Chicago, and the boyfriend is planning to propose but hasn't told his girlfriend. So he invites both sets of parents to come to this apartment that they've just moved into. But it's all of these issues happen. Like, the girlfriend hasn't told her parents that she's moving in with her boyfriend, and their moving van gets stolen, and the ring is in the moving van, and it gets stolen, and they get a chair stuck in the door so they can't get in and out of the apartment, and, like, all this crazy stuff happens, and I think it happens over the course of a day. It's really fun and funny, and I like it a lot.
That sounds interesting. I remember reading a description of the set, and it says a chair stuck in the door.
For the entire play.
Well, Sarah, that sounds like a really interesting season you've got here. We've got about a minute left. We've got you want to talk very quickly about some of the directors who are going to be doing the shows?
Sure. So Laura is going to be directed by Linda Benson, who is an ACT board member and, I would say, local legend. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is going to be directed by David Block. Also, now I feel like I have to say everyone is a legend because I said it about Linda. Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill is going to be directed by Matt Fernandez, who is also ACT's community outreach coordinator. Best of Everything will be directed by Krista Schwerting, who did Bus Stop with ACT last year. And then Things My Mother Taught Me will be directed by Carl Bright, who is in everything.
Yeah, Carol Bright is pretty much in everything. Yeah. Isn't it? Well, Sarah, this sounds like a great season. I'm really excited to see that you've chosen plays that are challenging, that are a wide variety of plays, but not something I've seen every day.
Thank you. I'm excited to hear it.
Well, great. Well, Sarah Athens has been here talking about ACT's upcoming season, 2016-2017. And looking forward to seeing it. Thanks for being on the show, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.